All right, let's be in order. Ms. Smith?
We would call Ed Shipkowski.
Mr. Shipkowski, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years, or both. Will you raise your right hand, being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Shipkowski? Do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Ms. Smith.
And could you state your full name for the record?
Edward William Shipkowski.
And by whom are you employed?
Plains Pipeline.
And what is your position with Plains?
District Manager of Operations.
And what does that entail?
We operate other pipelines in the state of North Dakota, Montana, and reaching into South Dakota. And in this area, we refer to it as the Belfield District in the Rocky Mountain region for Plains Pipeline.
And I believe you were in the room when Mr. Fawn asked a question about the 811 promotion and how Plains is involved in promoting that particular program. Could you address his question?
Yes. Plains promotes 811 because we do belong to North Dakota One Call. We belong to the North Dakota Pipeline Association. They promote it publicly, and especially with excavators, contractors. And we host banquets put on by the North Dakota Pipeline Association. We're active in that. We belong, like I said, to North Dakota One Call. We also belong to a web-based data management system where one calls are processed and managed, called EarthNet. And we do have a one-call coordinator in Houston.
All right. And as far as the question that Commissioner Kalk asked about well pads and how you work to route a pipeline with well pads and ones that are existing and ones that may come up, could you address that issue as well?
Yes. Our pipelines are out there. They exist right now. We do have easements. And when well pads go in, first thing that's done usually is a one call. We'll go out and flag our line. Representatives of the company doing the one call, the contractor, usually the person that's going to excavate, will meet us out there. We'll show them where our pipeline is. We'll flag it. And we've had instances where the well pad is staked to go right over our pipeline. And in those instances, they've moved them over, 20 feet or whatever. They don't necessarily move the hole over, but the location and where they do their excavation and their reserve pit, stuff like that, is just so it misses our pipeline. Our requirement is to stay 20 feet off our pipeline.
And generally, you've not had a problem with companies that want to put in well pads being able to avoid your pipeline but yet put in their well pad?
No, it happens all the time. I mean, a lot of our pipelines exist along section lines and roadways right now, and a lot of the well sites are going in right along those section lines and roadways, and we're real close to them in a lot of instances, and we don't have no problem with it.
And as far as the well sites that initiated a couple of the reroutes, were those then just a matter of that they were in the process of being constructed, or what was the situation with those?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe they were already constructed from what I've heard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was just something that you determined when you did your, got out and did more field determinations with
respect
to your
route.
That's
the way I understand it, yes.
All right. I have no further questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
No questions.
Mr. Fawn.
Just one, if the wellhead is there in advance of your pipeline going in, do they have greater setback requirements than you do?
I'm not sure. Usually they drill in the center of the location when they build it. So when our biggest problem has been that they want to build their location over our pipeline, not that they want to drill right on top of it. So they just shorten up their, I think the setback is probably the same, but they just shorten up their location. They can still drill in the same place. In most cases, I mean, we've had places where we run right behind their tank battery or something like that, and it's good for us in a lot of cases because we connect to those wells, and gathering systems, it kind of matches up to us anyway, so it hasn't been an issue.
Thank you.
Commissioner Clark?
Your comment about gathering systems got me to wondering, what's your experience been with operating a larger pipeline with an area where there's expansion of gathering systems going in? They're non-jurisdictional. Has it been generally good? Do you have concerns with the amount of gathering system that's going in and how it's kind of accounted for and constructed and so on and so forth?
No, we've operated gathering systems here in North Dakota. Plains has since 2004, and I've worked for companies prior to that that did the same thing. Gathering is, I think it's kind of a thing that's going, it's going to be a big thing here in North Dakota, and it already is. There's still a lot of trucking in the state. There's still a lot of companies coming in and building, a lot of producers actually building gathering systems. And that's the way it's looking like. They're gathering their own crude oil, bringing it to the central facility, then distributing to the pipeline companies. It's just more feasible for us and them to do it that way.
Sure. I'm just wondering if you've had any negative experiences from operating the midstream pipelines, whether it's construction or having that many folks in the field at one time with regard to running your integrity management programs, 811, all of those sorts of issues.
Our one calls have definitely increased. We've got a lot more infrastructure going on as far as wells and gas lines and water lines and power, even fiber optics, stuff like that. So our one calls have increased, but we're still able to manage that.
Is the are the mapping of these networks adequate in your mind? I mean, this is sort of separate from this case, but just wondering from a public policy standpoint, does North Dakota need to be doing more with regard to mapping where its infrastructure is so that as future builds happen, there's we have a better handle on it?
Well, I think, speaking for our company, we do a very good job of tracking what we put in the ground. We do surveys, as-built surveys. That goes to our mapping department in Houston. We have a very, very good mapping department, and they run GIS websites. Even our air patrols, they can call in. They see something on the ground that they want us to investigate or that we should investigate. They'll give us a GPS reading. I can put it on a map and send a person right to that spot. We have a very good system of tracking our pipelines and managing that. And those maps are available. And, I can't really speak for anybody else.
Sure.
How they do it. But.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Cook.
Thank you for testifying today. I just have a general question. I'm glad to hear you're helping out with the 811 program, and it's going pretty good. But suppose somebody, you get a phone call that somebody didn't call you to do a locate, and they've hit your pipeline. What's the protocol that the company then takes place to notify, and who do you tell that this happened? If they didn't call you and they hit your pipeline, it's a concern. How do you move forward then?
If that happens, we report it to our one-call coordinator. He does the investigation whether the one call was made, and he goes straight to the North Dakota one call and investigate that. If a one call was made, when was it made? Who made it? What was the time frame? Did it comply with everything? If it wasn't made at all, then we can make a decision based on that contractor's history of whether they're a non-compliant contractor. And we can actually file a grievance with remember. The acronym is DIRT. The acronym is DIRT, it's something like.
That's just what they call us.
Okay, but that, I guess that just was kind of, I wanted to hear how your company walks through the your own process in that, because one of the things that I just sense out there is that things like this happen where, somebody doesn't call 811, somebody hits a line, and we don't know about it. And then it's just how big is this becoming, and the pipeline safety program, Tony was kind of alluding to that for the gathering lines, but it sounds like you folks got a handle on it, so
yeah,
thank you.
811 has really done a good job of promoting themselves, and really the industry has changed. It used to be a problem, but it's changed now. There's very few non-compliant contractors. Anytime there's somebody's digging, like I say, our air patrols are up there once a week. They spot something on the ground, any kind of construction activity, they call it into us. We investigate every one of them to make sure that the one call was made. And we run into one non-compliant contractor, and it was an oversight on his part. You know, what the outcome of that, I'm not sure. They reimbursed us for all the costs. They did hit our pipeline. That's the only instance we've had happen in a long time, because it's just getting so good. It improves so much from the way it used to be.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Follow up, Ms. Smith?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Fawn? Mr. Fawn, anything further?
Sorry. No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shipkowski. Ms. Smith?
We have nothing further.
Mr. Armstrong, anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Closing comments from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Just thank you all for being here and for helping develop our record that the commission can now take back to Bismarck. Of course, we don't make any decisions today, but we'll be scheduling a work session in the near future to take up the case. Thank you and safe travels.
Commissioner Kramer.
Very well done. Thank you.
Commissioner Cook.
Same thing. Thank you all very much, and appreciate the ever-growing questions. When we ask questions at a hearing before, and all of a sudden those questions show up out of you, so I think that's very good, and thank you for doing that.
Anything further for the record, Ms. Smith?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong, anything further for the record?
No.
The hearing of North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-10-630 is closed. Thank you, counsel.